It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, what a good life it is living for the Lord. And I trust you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Well, today we're going to continue our look into a bird's eye view. And this, once again, is a study of the New Testament. And our study takes us today to the book of Jude. And once again, we're not going in depth in the study of these books. What I'm trying to do is just give an overview of what the books are about, the theme, and some of the high points in these books of the New Testament. Well, Jude was possibly the brother of our Lord. And in verse 1 it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Well, notice there it says the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, we could go back to Matthew chapter 13 and read verse 55 where it says, Is not this the carpenter's son? This speaking, of course, of Jesus. And is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? Of course, Judas would be Jude. And we have reference to one of the other brothers here, James. When verse 1 it says, and brother of James, of Jude, it says verse 1 there. So I believe that according to the Scriptures, the one who wrote this book was actually the brother of our Lord. And we understand also that his brothers did not believe in him, in our Lord, until his resurrection. And in fact, his brothers would go around making fun of our Lord. And they only wanted, as many people did in those days, and some even today, actually proclaim Jesus not as Savior, but they proclaim him in order to make money. Well, something else that caught my eye here in Matthew chapter 13, we'll look at that. It goes on to say in verse 56, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Now we know that Mary was a virgin when she conceived our Lord by the Holy Spirit. She conceived and bore a son, Jesus Christ. No man, no earthly man had part in that. She was a virgin. But after our Lord was born, we need to look back and study and understand that she married Joseph and they did have children. So when someone says the Virgin Mary, you need to understand that she did not remain a virgin. She had children. And that's important because she is not someone that we are to worship. We are to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, the date of Jude is approximately AD 68. And the setting here is it's likely to have been written to Jewish Christians who have not, noticed ungodly persons. These are written to Christians who have not noticed ungodly persons or just ungodliness in the church. It crept in. In other words, it was like a secret thing happening. It was something that kind of, once again, sneaked up on them. And once again, this book is not only written to those people who were alive then, it's also written to us as well. And there are people today who creep into churches who are they possibly have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and they cause trouble. And sometimes even saved persons will creep into a church, and they're not grounded in the Lord, in the Bible as well, and so therefore they cause trouble. Well, the key verses, I believe, here are verses 3 and 4. In verse 3 it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Well, verse 4 goes on to say, For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is the purpose of the book? The purpose is to get Christians to contend for the faith. We're to contend for the faith by continually striving earnestly. We're to do what we can not just for show, but we are to earnestly contend for the faith. It's not a game, but it's real. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now, of course, in 1 Timothy, in the verses we just read, chapter 6, verse 11 through 12, Paul is talking to Timothy, but he's also talking to us today. "But thou, O man of God, and women of God, people of God, we are to fight the good faith. We are to earnestly contend for the faith, fight the good fight." And many other verses talk about this. Stand up for the Lord. Well, in verses 16 through 21 of Jude, it talks about murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. We're to watch out for these people. We're not to give them credence when it comes to serving our Lord. We're to contend for the faith once again, also noticing the sins of the ungodly. In verse 4 of Jude, it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." We're to turn away from these people. We're not to have anything to do with those people who say that Jesus is not God, that the doctrine of our Lord is not important. That doesn't keep us from praying for them and loving them in the Lord. Now notice, we're not to notice the sins of these people. Once again, in the sense of, we're not to imitate them. We're to get away from them. We're to notice the sins, watch out for these sins, and we're to watch out for these sins by remembering that they will be judged by God. In verse 5, it says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." Now, God is the judge, and God is the one who will eventually do what is necessary to judge these people who are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness in denying the only Lord God. Jude 5 says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." Now, folks, there's coming a day when the judgment hand of God is going to take place. He's going to reach forth and he's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." It's sad to see and say that, but when we're standing there as saved people and we're going to see this happen and happen at the white throne judgment, how that God, Jesus, the judge, is going to say, "Depart from me." And what a sad day that will be. Well, we're also to contend for the faith, not only by noticing the sins of the ungodly, but by building up each other in the faith. Jude 20 and verse 21 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Well, we are to build each other up, to help each other, and not only to build each other up, but we're to help those caught in sin. See, verses 22 and 23 say this, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Now, I take this to mean that not only are we to preach the word to the unsaved, but we're also to help our brothers and sisters who have fallen away from God. Not that they were that they've lost their salvation, but they've strayed from the Lord, and they need to be brought back. Pull them back and let them know that we love them. Well, there's many other things we can say about contending for the faith, but let's look at a couple of application lessons here. First, leaders need to know what their brethren need to be taught. Verses 3 and 4 say, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Well, as leaders, we need to know what the brethren need to be taught. Study to show yourself approved, in other words, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we need to let people know about godliness. We need to let people know about the grace of God. We need to let people know concerning the way of ungodly men and warn others, according to Jude 4, and verses 5 through 19. Leaders need to teach what their brethren need, not what the leaders would like to teach. We need to get into the Word of God as leaders and teach the Word of God and not simply give what we think, but thus saith the Word of God. Well, on and on this book goes, and it tells us so many things. It's a short book as we look at it, but it's chock full of information, of guidance that we as saved people need to look at. Well, let me call to your attention one person in Jude 14, Enoch. Verse 14 says, "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." God is going to send his son back. And guess who's coming with him? 10,000s of his saints. And that's us. We're coming back with him because, first, we're going to be caught up with him in the clouds, and the rapture of the church will take place. We will be with the Lord. Therefore, we're to comfort one another according to the scriptures. Well, then Jude says that there's going to be those people coming back with him who have trusted him in this life, in this time that we live, the church age. The people are going to be going with him in the rapture, and then we're coming back with him. The Bible tells us that we're going to come back with him as he touches down on the Mount of Olives. Well, I pray that you've trusted Christ as your Savior today. Do you know him? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? You can do that right now by simply saying, Lord Jesus, I don't understand everything. I don't understand how that you could come and die for me, but I believe it. Lord, because your word says so, I trust you as my Savior today. Please come into my heart and save me so I can go to heaven. If you'll trust Jesus today, he'll save you. If you'll pray a prayer such as what I've just said and ask Jesus to come into your heart, believing that he is the Savior, believing that he is God, that he will save you today, then you can be saved. Your mind will be changed. And in other words, it's called repentance. When you change your mind and understand once again that you're not as good as you think you are, but you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That means you. That means that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you need a Savior. Instead of thinking you're going to go to heaven by good works or because you're so good, your mind needs to be changed and understand that you cannot go to heaven the way you are, that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need him to come into your heart and save you. Let's pray. Father, I pray for that person today, Lord, who's nearest hell. I pray that that person would receive you as Savior before it's too late. I pray for those, Lord, who would be listening, that you would touch their hearts even today and save them for Jesus' sake. May they call upon you and may they seek you today, Lord, before it is too late. For that saved person, Lord, who needs to be serving you, is not serving you, may that person get things right with you today, not to be saved, but because they are. And may they live for you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.